What happens when a 13-year-old learns more about conversation from selling turtles than most adults learn in a lifetime? This isn't a hypothetical question. It's the foundation of understanding why our ability to talk to each other has collapsed. We've replaced dialogue with warfare, where every conversation becomes a battle to win rather than an opportunity to understand. Social media algorithms feed us endless streams of content that confirms what we already believe, while cable news networks discovered that conflict drives ratings better than nuance ever could. We've built a world where being right matters more than being connected, where shouting drowns out listening, and where the very idea of changing your mind feels like admitting defeat. But here's the uncomfortable truth. We're all trapped in our own version of Plato's cave, constrained by family expectations, professional obligations, and social identities that limit what we're willing to see. The way out isn't through louder arguments or cleverer comebacks. It's through the painstaking, often uncomfortable work of actually hearing each other. We've become so disconnected in the digital age, Americans check their phones 96 times daily, that we've replaced real human interaction with technological distraction, making us less resilient to awkwardness or disagreement. Ever post something online and instantly regret it? When criticism hits, we defend, deflect, or delete. Real growth starts with private reckoning. Why did I post that? Our egos craft elaborate stories protecting us from flaws, even when we're objectively wrong. We're imperfect beings, desperately wanting to be right, yet our viewpoints often stem from emotions, unconsciously altering reality to feel correct. Japanese philosophy offers alternatives. Kaizen teaches continuous improvement, accepting we're evolving rather than finished. Zen Buddhism emphasizes slowing down through meditation, quiet solitude, breathwork, contemplation, helping us understand ourselves, recognize biases, and create space between impulses and actions. Civil discourse begins by looking inward with unflinching honesty. Self-awareness alone isn't enough. The fundamental barrier to meaningful conversation isn't bad intentions, it's undefined ones. Without a clear compass, discussions drift or crash. Consider Muhammad Yunus's microloans, noble beginnings lifting women from poverty transformed into predatory lending when commercialized. Bad faith actors deploy word salad, deliberately confusing responses, or gish gallop, overwhelming opponents with rapid-fire chaos. The antidote isn't fighting dishonesty with dishonesty, it's persistently stating truths and asking questions to understand motives. Before any conversation, ask, what am I actually trying to accomplish? Truth, connection, or validation? Your answer shapes everything that follows. Mr. Rogers made gentle communication look effortless, but such skills require lifelong practice. Tone encompasses facial expressions, pacing, vocal pitch, body language, word choice, and word order, not just how you sound. Allen Iverson's practice rant, where he said practice 22 times in varying tones, showed how tone can redirect conversations while damaging discourse. President Biden's COVID-19 warning to the unvaccinated, a winter of severe illness and death, backfired because its accusatory tone hardened positions instead of persuading. Digital tone matters even more. Messages linger longer than spoken words. Read messages aloud before sending, use tone detection software, and add friendly opening lines to prevent misunderstandings. We easily recognize others' tones, but struggle analyzing our own, requiring us to understand how others perceive us. Trust forms slowly, like stalactites in a cave, each conversation adding another microscopic layer. Faith, however, is the immediate leap we take when engaging with strangers, the willingness to believe without proof. This distinction matters because civil discourse requires both. Oprah Winfrey built her global audience through trust, with viewers believing in her ability to tackle controversial topics with fairness and vulnerability. She started by taking that initial leap of faith that audiences would respond to authenticity. Self-trust differs crucially from self-confidence. Confidence can be a public facade, but genuine self-trust requires honest self-inventory and introspection. Henry Ford demonstrated this in 1914 when he doubled workers' wages to $5 per day despite declining sales. This counterintuitive move created new car buyers among his workforce while reducing turnover, trusting both people and process over short-term logic. Trust cannot exist in isolation. We must trust ourselves, trust others, and trust the process of discourse itself. Being trustworthy invites reciprocal trust, creating a foundation where meaningful conversation becomes possible even when disagreement is inevitable. Most relationship breakdowns stem from poor communication, not irreconcilable differences. Active listening means truly hearing someone's words, intention, and tone, not just waiting for your turn to speak. Effective strategies include maintaining focus through nodding and verbal acknowledgments, paraphrasing key points, paying attention to body language, and asking clarifying questions. Like meditation, it requires setting aside ego and takes practice. StoryCorps' One Small Step project demonstrates this power by bringing together people from opposite political ends for civil conversations. When people engage in attentive listening, real breakthroughs occur, reflecting contact theory, where controlled interactions between different groups reduce prejudice. Attentiveness is fundamentally about kindness, showing interest through leaning forward, nodding, eye contact, and open body language. We live in what David Isay calls a culture of contempt, where people expect the worst. Making others feel safe through genuine attention can transform conversations. When a 9-year-old and his sister tried to sabotage their father's new partner, they discovered unexpected common ground. They all loved the same person. This revealed that while revenge has no place in civil discourse, neither does avoiding conflict. Conflict, the natural presence of differing perspectives, is essential to meaningful conversation. The viral 2015 dress debate, white gold versus black blue, demonstrated how our brains interpret information differently based on assumptions. This subjectivity extends to all perception. While objective reality may exist, we access it only through subjective experience, making civil discourse essential for expanding understanding. Daryl Davis, an African-American musician, befriended KKK members and helped over 200 leave the organization. As he explains, when two enemies are talking, they're not fighting. Humor offers another universal pathway to connection, creating that don't-you-just-hate-it-when sense of shared experience. When The Doe published Having an Orgasm During Rape, it initially sparked backlash. Those who read it completely recognized the author shared a terrible experience and found peace through storytelling. There's more power in speaking truth than staying silent. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams shaped American history through reasoned debate. When they fell into uncivil discourse during Adams' presidency, they stopped speaking for 12 years. They rekindled their friendship through 185 letters, showing deepening respect and brilliant discourse. Both died on July 4, 1826, the Declaration's 50th anniversary, demonstrating how civil discourse transforms relationships. We can't change everyone's mind or always find common ground, and that's okay. We must adapt to new information and give others space to speak with civility. Social media creates personalized bubbles, reinforcing existing beliefs. Yet, even during the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots, journalists found many protesters willing to engage sincerely, demonstrating that people fundamentally want to be understood. The path forward is simple. Have conversations with people you disagree with, be open to their perspectives, understand their reasoning, and always see their humanity. That's how we heal our fractured world, one genuine conversation at a time.